set. And so I announced to them, I said, told them we're all going to come to church in the auditorium. And I gave a few instructions for the day. And I said, and today you get to hear me preach. They didn't respond at all. They just stared at me, didn't say anything. And then I said, but don't worry, I'm going to preach a very short message. And the only one that cheered was Lily Hall. So I was really upset about that. So is she in here? Is Lily in here? No, she's next door to Junior Church. Yeah, so when you see her, remind her of that, all right? But she was happy about that, all right? But we'll be a shorter message this morning because I know we have a lot going on. And for the kids, just want to remind you again that your Junior Church workers are sitting in the auditorium with quiet seats that they're going to be giving out, so make sure you earn that today. But you are doing a great job, and I appreciate you doing a good job, right? Matthew chapter number 1, we're going to look at here a small portion of the Christmas story that we'll talk a lot about here in the next few services. But in verse number 21, it says this, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This is whenever Joseph finds out about the fact that Jesus is going to be born. And they tell Joseph, and they also, an angel came to Mary and told Mary that they were to name the child Jesus, because Jesus means salvation. And truly, that's why Jesus came, was to save us. But we go on, it says, "Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now they told Joseph and Mary, the angels did, that this child that would be born, his name would be Jesus. And we know him, of course, as Jesus. For us that are saved, he came to be that of salvation. But the fact is this, that he has a special name, if you will. I called the title of my sermon is His Christmas Name, all right? The name that is only used only here and when the prophets foretold of his coming, just of when he would be born, a special name found in verse number 23, and that is the name Emmanuel. And I want to look at that this morning, Jesus's Christmas name, the name Emmanuel, and why that's so important. Before we look at it, let's bow our heads and pray together this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. God, I pray that, Lord, these next few minutes, that, Lord, you just put a hush about the auditorium, that, God, we would listen, we would hear what the Bible says. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts as only you can. And God, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, now we love you, and I pray you just be with this service. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I love Christmas time. I love it, again, because to me, time to for pretty much our entire country pauses to recognize most people don't understand what it's all about, but the fact that Jesus Christ came. And we can, especially as Christians, rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ came, and that he came for many reasons. He came, of course, to be born, but more importantly, he came to die. He came to die for our sins. Jesus came to be born. He came to die for our sins. He is the promised one. He is God's son. He is, as this verse said that we read, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, the only other time that this word Emmanuel, this name Emmanuel, is used is back in the prophets in Isaiah, when they prophesied that Jesus would be born and that his name would be Emmanuel. The only other time we find it in the Bible is here, when the angel tells Joseph that he would be Emmanuel. In other words, it's very important, God with us. Now, I want you to see the importance of this name. Number one, I want you to hear about his deity. This baby that was born, and you'll see nativity scenes everywhere in town, and I'm thankful that some of our towns still around here still put out nativity scenes, all right? That's good and wonderful. And I love down in Loveland, every time we go to nursing home service on Tuesday, we leave and we drive past, and there it is, even a big giant replica of the scriptures is open, and there has a nativity scene of the Christ child. And I'm thankful and understanding when we all picture Joseph and Mary, and we picture the manger and this little baby laying there in that manger. But understand, that is Emmanuel. So why is that important? Because that child, he is God. That child is God. Now, you say, is that important? That means everything. That child is no ordinary child. Understand this as we talk about it this morning, that that child that you picture there in that manger, that child that you sometimes see a picture of Mary holding that child in her arms, all right? That child is God. That child did not begin life whenever that, you know, Mary was expecting that child. That child did not begin life when that child was born. That child that was there, He has always been. He is eternal. That's why it's very important to understand here in verse number 23, it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Now, the reason why that's so important is because, understand this, this child that Mary had, that was not the, you know, a child or the fruit of a marriage relationship. That child that was born was a miracle of God. So what exactly happened, Pastor? The Holy Spirit of God miraculously placed that child inside of Mary. Because that child did not come from man. That child did not come, you know, as a natural process here of mankind. That child was a miracle. That child was no ordinary child. And say, you make a big deal, you're one of those churches that makes a big deal that she was the Virgin Mary. Yes, because that makes all the difference in the world. Because if that child was just a normal child born, you know, just as all of us were in this auditorium, then that child has the same problem that we have. It's a sinner. But that child did not come from a natural process of man. That child was a miracle of God, because that child was no ordinary baby. It is God. Which means he's holy, which means he's righteous, which means that child could do something that none of us could do. That child was different than every other person that has ever been on this earth. That child is different in the fact that that child is the Son of God. That child lived a perfectly righteous, holy life. So what do you mean by perfectly righteous, holy life? I mean this, every one of us in this auditorium, we've sinned. I don't care who you are. We've sinned. Probably, most of us, would be honest, we could think, and it wouldn't take us long to think about it, we've sinned this week. Some have sinned today already. I know that because I rode on the bus with you, right? I know that, all right? Some of us have sinned already. But the fact is this, all of us in this place, we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. Because, you know why? Because we inherited that. That's what all of us are. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, we were all children. I don't care who you are, we're all children of Adam and Eve. And because of that, we inherited their sinful nature. In other words, we never have to be taught how to sin. We all know how to sin automatically. We all know how to be evil. We all know, and you can look, I don't care if you want to pick any child or if you want to take some distinguished Christian, all right, like Brother Joshua here, all right, just saying a tremendous special, all right, but guess what? He and whatever child and whatever older person you want to pick today, we're all the same. We're all sinners. But this child that was born, that was God. That is God. And when he was born, he never sinned. Did you know the Bible says that Jesus had brothers? Can you imagine being the brother of someone who never did anything wrong? I'm sure my sisters can kind of relate to that, all right? But no, I'm kidding, all right? No, all right? But the fact is this, all right? I mean, Jesus was perfection. He's holy. He never said one thing he shouldn't have said. He never thought one thought he shouldn't have thought. He never whispered one word that he ever regretted. He never treated anyone the wrong way. That child, if you picture laying in that manger, he is, I mean, look at me, the Creator. That child is the one that spoke everything into existence. That child laying in there in that manger, he is the Almighty God. You know what that means? There's nothing that he could not do. That is an our Creator, that is the Almighty God. He is perfection. He is holiness. He is our Deliverer. He is everything. And that is why when that child grew up and went to the cross, when he died on the cross, that paid for our sins, because that Jesus, Emmanuel, is God. When they placed him on the cross, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and they mocked him, and they hit him, and they spat on him. They pulled the hair right out of his face. They blindfolded him and then hit him with a stick and said, "If you're really God, tell us who did it." Now look at me. He knew who did it. He said, "Well, why didn't he do something about it?" Because he came to die for their sins. Even those people that were spitting on them, he loved them. And I want everybody in this auditorium to hear something real quick this morning. God loves you too. And the reason why Jesus died on that cross is because the wages of our sin, we're all sinners, the wages of our sin is death. And because of our sins have to be paid for. But understand this, as great of a man as Brother Joshua is, he can't die for my sins, because he's a sinner too. I'm the pastor, but I can't die for your sins, because I'm a sinner too. But Jesus, that child that was born, he grew up and he died on the cross, and he was able to die for our sins because he was no ordinary man. That is God. That is God that we're speaking of. And the fact that this God would leave heaven to come down and save us is a miracle. Philippians talks about it. Let me read this verse to you in Philippians chapter number 2. Listen to what it says about this God and what he did for us in being born. So when you see a nativity scene, or you see the baby Jesus in a manger, I want you to understand that was no ordinary child. That is God. And listen to what he did. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So here's Jesus, "who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." In other words, he is God, and to say he is just as great as God is no exaggeration. It says, "but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Our God allowed himself to become man, and didn't just come as a man, but allowed himself to die and to be beaten and to be mocked. You say, "Well, that's a sad story." It is, but the story's not over. He didn't stay in the grave. He arose again 3 days later. And the verse goes on, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This Jesus that was born, he's no ordinary child. This is God. And one day, every person will know one day that he is Lord. Emmanuel. That's his Christmas name. That's the name the angel said. Because that's God. God. That he is deity. He is God. But then I want you to see, second thing is this, in that name Emmanuel, his desire. Not just that he is God, his deity, but his desire. The word Emmanuel means, I want everybody to catch this, because I want you to learn this today. Emmanuel means God with us. So what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. So not only you see his deity, but his desire. So what's his desire, Pastor Burke? To be with us. Isn't that awesome? That God wants to be with us. That's what Christmas is all about. I want you to catch that this morning. The Christmas, the purpose of Christmas, is because God wants to be with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to enjoy being with Him. And I say that to anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior. I want you to know the reason He came, that He is God and He died for your sins, and that God wants to have a relationship with you. And to those that are saved, sometimes we as Christians forget that, and we just start living our life and we forget that we were created to have a relationship with God. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. You understand this, that the Lord did nothing by accident. He chose to come. And the reason He came was to be with us. See, what are you talking about? Now look at me real quick. We were created by God, but sin separated us. I want you to read a few verses if you have your Bibles. If not, just sit up and listen real close. In Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5 and in verse number 10. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10. We'll read a few verses here in Romans. But in Romans chapter number 5 and in verse number 10. It says this, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." You understand this? Everybody look at me, what this verse says. That you and I, because of our sin, we are at odds with God. We were, what the Bible says, enemies of God. We lived for ourselves. We lived for our own pleasures. We lived for, you know, whatever I want to do. But we were sinners, and our sins separated us. But Jesus came, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means what? God with us. He came so that we could be, big fancy word, reconciled. Now, I've done a lot of different type of counseling since I've been the pastor. I've had husbands and wives who are having hard times that have come, and God has reconciled their relationship. They came in the office. I've seen this. People have sat in the office and they fold their arms and say, "I just can't stand them anymore." But I've seen God reconcile them where they love each other again. I've seen two Christians sit in the room who are mad at each other and their relationship is broken, but the Word of God has reconciled them, brought them back to a relationship. I've seen fathers and mothers with their children, and their children have gone astray, but I've seen them become reconciled, get right with each other again. The word reconcile means to make things right again. And you and I, because of our sin, were separated from God. The wages of sin is what? Death. That's what we deserve. And because of our sin, we've all come short of the glory of God. We can't get to heaven because of our sin. But God sent His Son. That baby is God. And He died for our sins so that we could be reconciled with God. See, how does that take place? When you and I realize that, yes, God, I am a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that He rose again. And I am so sorry for my sin, but I choose to receive God's gift of salvation. I did that when I was 14. I got saved. There are some in this auditorium that's been saved for 2 weeks. There's some in this auditorium that's been saved for 2 months. There's some in this auditorium that's been saved for 20 years and more. But we all had a time in our life, if we're going to heaven, that we said, "Yes, God, I am a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sins. He is God. And I choose to receive His gift of salvation." And when I was 14 and I asked the Lord to save me, at that very moment, everybody look at me, I was reconciled to God. And the whole purpose, we talk about Christmas all the time, the whole purpose that Jesus came is to be with us, to be reconciled. His Christmas name is Emmanuel, God with us. You see His deity in that name. You see His desire. But I want you to hear one more thing. There's a decision. God wants to be with us, but you have to make a decision to be with him. Amos chapter number 3, it's a book in the Bible towards the end of the Old Testament, says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? James chapter number 4 and verse number 8, let me read that verse to you if you want to turn there real quick. But the book of James in chapter number 4 and in verse number 8, it says this, James 4, 8, it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Again, that verse says, you draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Brother Elijah, I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you read John chapter 6 and verse 37 for me real quick? And I want to close with just an illustration here. Emmanuel means God with us. All right? Now I'm going to ask for someone to help me out here. Mason, do you want to help me out? Come on up here, Mason. All right? I want you to stand right there and don't move. All right, Mason? Until I tell you to. Here's Mason. Mason is a typical person like you and me. He's a sinner. John chapter 6, verse 37, brother. When Jesus came, his name is Emmanuel. God with us. That baby is God. He grew up to die upon the cross. That was no ordinary man. That was God. And he came so that we could be reconciled to him. But you have to choose. Can you read that one more time? Listen real close to the end of this verse. Hear what that verse said. You have to come to the Lord. Even though he came and he's God, and he came for the purpose to die for our sins so that we could be with him, you still must choose to receive him. James said, you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Here's Mason, who would just be a typical person, and I'll play the part of God right here. When Mason decides that he wants to receive Jesus Christ, take one step towards me. When he starts to draw nigh to God, you know what God does? God draws nigh to him. When you make the decision to come to Christ, then Christ says, I come to you. Salvation's yours. He wants you to have it. But it's a gift. Next door, there are so many presents next door. I get excited. None of them's for me. But they look cool. But the fact is this. Those presents are going to be handed out, but it's not yours until you receive it. It's already been paid for. It's got your name on it. Mason has one next door. I saw it. But it's not Mason's. Even though it's his name on it, even though it's been paid for, it's not Mason's until he receives it. God came, Emmanuel. He came to be with us, but you have to choose to receive him. If you've never done that, I hope you will this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to